I invite you to go back in your Bibles over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to finish looking at chapter 2 and finish this out this afternoon. And you'll notice as we read there in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can come back into your house this afternoon. And God, I do pray that you would just have free reign of our hearts. And Lord, that we would be willing to act upon the things that you teach us and show us, and to apply these truths to our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Christ's holy name, amen. Well, here we see the manifestation of divine truth. This is where Paul speaks about divine truth and how we come to the knowledge of divine truth, especially the gospel. Remember, the most they knew there in Corinth at the time, they knew as much as the gospel, but they hadn't grown beyond that. We're going to see that starting week after next. We're going to see how they were still going back into pagan practices, Judaism, and so forth. But that's as far as they got, was the gospel. So also keep in mind, throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with these people. He takes always leads back to the gospel. Why? Well, because that's all they knew. So we see first here in the manifestation of divine truth, I want you to notice, number one, the missing of the manifestation. And, you know, many people have missed the gospel news, the divine truth that can save them. And when we talk about what's missed, that's exactly what I'm speaking of, is the gospel. They've missed the things of God. You know, I know we love to read this verse, and we've all had this thought, and it's really not specifically what this chapter is speaking about. When he said, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And at one time or another, we've all read that and had the idea that he's speaking, wow, what has he made in heaven? But primarily here, so that we can have the context in proper perspective, he's speaking of what God has done for man by means of the gospel. That's what he's speaking of. And that's what's being missed by so many people in the world today. The things, in summary here, speak specifically of the gospel. The things that we know, one day heaven will be amazing. heaven will be nothing like we've ever seen before. And you think of it this way, it took God 6 days to create all the beauty in this world you see today. Well, what has he created over the past 2,000 plus years? You know, we can't comprehend that. And if you have, and we all do, we've all have loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. And what's so neat is they've got to see those things. And we will too one day. And hopefully sooner than later. I think the Lord is on his way back. I'm not a time setter, and I don't want to get into that because no man knows the day nor the hour. But we do know, if you watch the news or read any source of news, you'll see it is right in line with the scriptures for what we're seeing happen today in our world. But we see it's the gospel. And listen, when he said the things here, again, he's speaking of the gospel, not of rewards or other blessings for mankind here on earth. And he's not speaking of what's to come in heaven here. Again, he's dealing with them on the means of the gospel. And so what they missed, and many people were missing, was the gospel, the good news of Christ, as in our world today. And where is it missed? Well, he tells us in the next verse. He said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And the idea here is God does use our physical faculties, seeing and hearing. In fact, we're told in the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So yes, he does use some of our physical factors in saving us. How do we read God's Word? Well, we've got to see. To hear preaching, well, we've got to hear, you know, to take in the preaching. But notice also there in verse 9, when he goes to say, neither hath entered into the heart of man. Now, if you go into the Greek, the original Greek, when he uses heart here, this is the word that's actually for mind. He's speaking of the mind of man. The mind of man. And so we know that he's speaking that because the gospel is not discerned just by the human eye or by the human ear or even the mind or the heart, but primarily what's happened when people get saved, it is the illuminating of the Holy Spirit for them to get saved. We can't leave out the work of the convincing or the convicting of the Holy Spirit in convincing people that, yes, we are sinners, we need a Savior. And something else to consider here, the human mind cannot penetrate into the counsels of God, but the Holy Spirit can when it comes to the mind of God, because he is God. But as we've read at the end of the chapter there in verse 16, we can know this because we do have and should have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has the knowledge of God's thoughts. We can learn the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit, but it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can do that. We can't do it in our own human wisdom and reasoning. But also notice number two, the means of this manifestation. The means. And I go back there to verse 10. Pick back up in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it's by the Holy Spirit that we'll know these things. The means of that manifestation is the working of the Holy Spirit. This here is how we actually learn and understand the manifestation of divine truth. And just, I want you to notice three subpoints here with the means of manifestation. First, notice the revealing by the Spirit. The revealing by the Spirit. He said, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Verse 10. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the revealing of divine truth. I've often referred to the Holy Spirit as our resident truth teacher, who's teaching us truth. I'll go back to what I closed with this morning. The will of God is going to always coincide with the Word of God. It's always going to be in line. And by the way, when you're praying for God's will, if you know, in holy common sense, it goes contrary to the Word of God, then you know you're on the wrong path. It should always go in line with God's Word. So the will of God, and remember, it's God's will that no one would perish. And if anyone does perish and go to that eternal flame, well, then that was their choice, because every individual will have the opportunity to receive or reject Christ. And so he's not willing that any should perish. The will of God is confirmed by the Word of God, and the Word of God is activated by the Holy Spirit within us. So we see the revealing of the Spirit, but also we see here the researching of the Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And notice, the Holy Spirit is able to reveal divine truths to us because He can search the mind of God. He is God, and He can reveal those things to us. And Paul illustrates this ability by saying, only the spirit of man can know, the spirit of man can know what is in man. And well, that's by even His Holy Spirit. And so therefore, only the Holy Spirit knows what God the Father knows, because He knows the mind of God and has the mind of God. Therefore, He's the one to reveal divine truth to us. And by the way, be very selective of who you receive your divine truth from. There are people that will have you think that they have a premium on an extra step with God, and they can give you a word. And listen, I'm all for it. Exhorting the brethren and encouraging. I tell you, I'm very cautious when somebody says, I've got a word for you. When I first became pastor here at Victory, there was a lady that came into our morning service. We're just about to get started. And I was coming out the door over here. She came up to me, and the pianist was just starting to play. And she said, you're the pastor, aren't you? And I said, I am. She said, I have a word for you and your church today. I said, well, I have a word for us in our church too, and here it is. The Word of God. You have to really be cautious with that. It's not to say we do believe in the gift of prophecy in the right sense, in the sense of intuition and the sense of most women have intuition better than men. They are They're good readers. You ladies are very good to read situations, usually much better than us men. But we see it in that light, that it's the idea that they have an intuition, and the very reason being, they're very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then also notice the receiving of the Spirit. The believer receives the Holy Spirit when he is or she is saved. It's at the moment of salvation. That's when we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit getting more of us. God gave us 100% all of the Holy Spirit we will ever need to live the Christian life. But what we need to understand, it's not a matter of so much more. It's a matter of so much growing. It's a matter of growing in Christ and giving the Lord Jesus more of ourselves. And if you want to use the word more, that's how we would use it when it comes to the Christian life. No one has attained a certain level and has special abilities. You see, that's the big problem with the sign gifts, and especially when we look at speaking in tongues. And by the way, it's outlined in the book of Acts. They were just merely speaking other languages. It wasn't a bunch of jibber-jabber. But some people believe they have attained a certain level because they can say a bunch of jibber-jabber. That doesn't make sense. But they see that as a higher spiritual gift. And we're going to see here in Corinthians that they desired that gift. They wanted that. And you see, it was an attention thing. It was a spotlight thing. And it's totally separate from the dispensation in which we live today, the age of grace. And even if it were used, it's merely people given the gift by God to speak in another language to proclaim the gospel and to have an interpreter. We don't see it as a gift that's in practice today. It's not. But many people will see things like that, and they want to read more into it because they want more than anything for other people to think they have a certain premium on the things of God that I or you don't have. It's really comes down to self-glorification. And human reason was not the source of the knowledge that Paul was sharing. Though he was a smart man, this was not human reason. He's communicating the divine truths of God by the power of God. And he wanted to make that very clear, and that's what he wanted to convey to the people. Where's the power? Christ Jesus, and only Christ Jesus crucified. That's the power. That was his message. And then, second, he says here, the design in the receiving. Well, the design in the receiving, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. What a blessed design that we can know those things. Receiving Christ as Savior results in the Holy Spirit entering the believer, which brings the blessed result of illumination to the divine truth. That's when we are illuminated to the Word of God, is by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that in a moment as we come down to verse 14. We'll see that. But number three, that last point I gave you, I said number two, but it was a sub-point. Number three, we see the message of the manifestation. Well, what's the message? Well, notice verse 13. Going back there to verse 13, and we see, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is a key to hermeneutics. This is a key to the science of Bible interpretation right here. You compare spiritual things with spiritual. You compare Scripture with Scripture. God, in nowhere part of His Word will He go contrary to another part of His Word. He doesn't do that. And we need to make sure as we study God's Word that we are practicing that as well. Scripture interprets Scripture. And so, the message of the manifestation. First notice the contents of this message. The contents. Which things, he said. Which things. Or what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and especially a reference here to the gospel of Christ. But then we see, along with the contents of this message, we see the communicating of the message. Notice, again in verse 13, which things also we speak. Which we speak, that's verse 13. Not only did Paul know divine truths, but he also declared them. What God reveals to you, or to me, is to be declared to someone else, to others. We commit that to others. I think it's 1 Timothy, I believe, that speaks of that. Those things which you have received, turn around and give those things to others and help disciple others. And I've always had a saying, the importance of discipleship, so important. It's key to the Christian life, to have a firm foundation and to have that structural foundation to build upon. And you say, if you want to know if you've been discipled properly, ask yourself this: who are you discipling? If you have been properly discipled, there's always going to be someone in your life that you're working on discipling. And so, if you're not discipling someone, it could be possible that you need to go back through a discipleship course, because we should always be giving back to others what God has done for us. So not only did Paul know the divine truths, but he also declared them. And what God reveals to us, we should reveal to others. And then notice, if you would, the second part of this is the work in the manifestation. The work. You'll notice the work of his communicating, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And he goes on there. The original word means not only mentally, he's not only speaking mentally regarding the meaning of the word comparing, but he's also to join together and also to explain those things so others can understand. The work of communicating is to make known the divine truth of our Lord. That's why we do that. And you know what? Women, you win again. Most women communicate better than men. My wife tells me all the time that you don't communicate well. And I have to admit, she's right. I don't always communicate well. I sometimes will think something through. You know, here's how men think, that, well, I've thought it, so she knows it, or they should know it, because I know it's up here. No, that's poor communicating. And we need to have a good communication skill with the gospel. And then notice number four, the mocking of the manifestation. The mocking. Now here we go in verse 14. You see, any divine truth is proclaimed, when any time divine truth is proclaimed, there will always be those who mock the manifestation of divine truth. Those who will mock the preacher. Those who will mock the evangelist out on the street. There's the mocking of it. And notice verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because, fill in the blank, they are spiritually discerned. So where there is no Holy Spirit, there is no understanding on spiritual things. So we see just a few things here, and we're going to wrap up. But he does not receive spiritual truth. The natural man does not receive spiritual truth, meaning the things of the Spirit of God is what I'm referring to. Because at some point, he's got to be willing to receive that, to receive Christ. And so the communication of divine truth is rejected by the natural man. It's rejected. I saw a clip where Bill Maher had a professing believer on his podcast, talk show, whatever, and he would fit that place. He fits this description as a natural man. The believer was trying to explain to him his relationship with Christ and how and why he could have this knowledge, but Bill could not, and you could tell he wanted to know. He was really trying to figure it out and understand, but he couldn't because there's no indwelling of the Holy Spirit there. And that's at his profession, by the way, not mine. He doesn't believe there's God. But you know, what a brazen spirit for anyone to have, to think that or discount there's an infinite creator. To do that, you have to believe, well, I discount that, but I have all the answers. There's no God. It's very brazen to have that mentality. And that's the natural man. That's the natural man. He does not respect spiritual truth, for they are foolishness unto him. And that's exactly the response of Bill Maher. It would seem very foolish to him. And we've all seen or had conversations at times like this with people searching for the truth. I'm going to be meeting with a young man this coming week that he's got Jehovah's Witness going after him. He's got Islam, the practitioners of Islam going after him. And then there's a couple of Christians going after him. And he just wants some answers. He wants some answers. You pray for him. His name is Daniel. And I pray that God will give him understanding of the gospel of Christ, the true gospel. But you see how the devil wants so badly through false faiths and religions to prevent people from getting saved. That's really what those false religions and the false, these cults, that's really what they're all about. It's just to prevent people from getting saved. And so he's a young man searching for truth. And just as I saw Bill Maher rejected the things of God. One of the things you can pray for this young man, Daniel, he has trouble with the Trinity. And I'm like, well, who doesn't? we'll never comprehend that, but you can't deny it. You can't deny the Trinity. But that's one of the areas he has a lot of questions about, and he struggles with that. So he also, notice, he does not only recognize spiritual truth, but also this is they're naysayers. They're naysayers, even though they don't have the truth. They want to tell you that your truth is wrong. And then notice lastly, the men of the manifestation. Notice, if you would please, verse 15. Go back there to verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so in contrast to the men who reject divine truth, there are also men who accept divine truth and believe. These men are described here. They are described as the devotion of believers. That devotion we have to Christ every day. He that is spiritual. The spiritual man is not only the individual who is not only the individual who is saved, but also those who see themselves as being spiritual, but they're spiritually wrong. Someone who is spiritually wrong. But also, he is interested in heavenly things. He's interested in the things of God. He's not going to mix paganistic thoughts and ideas and mysticism with the truth of God's word. That's someone who needs to have a proper understanding of the gospel and trust Christ. Because we can't mix those things. That's what these people were doing. Now, he's speaking to believers, but we know that it's absolutely true. Not everyone in that church would have been a Christian. There are those who thought they had believed. Because if we truly believe on the resurrected Christ and we have the Holy Spirit living within us, I believe it is going to be impossible to include paganistic worship with that, or paganistic ideals with Christ. You can't do it. Or at least you're not going to feel comfortable about it, I should say. But we see here the discernment also. Notice the discernment. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. We have the mind of Christ. And I know the favorite Bible verse of all the world. Judge not, lest you be judged, right? We've all heard people state that. But the truth is, yes, Christ did say that. But keep in mind who he was speaking to when he said that. He's speaking to a bunch of Pharisaical people, and he's trying to get them, even in that argument, to see the truth. And so the truth is, we are to practice good judgment. In fact, we will be in trouble if we don't practice judgment. We need to practice that good and right kind of judgment. And he said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And the reason being, we have the mind of Christ. And this speaks also of the ability of the redeemed to access spiritual matters. We can go, remember, there's one advocate between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go through Mother Mary, nor would she have wanted that. We can go, it's called the priesthood of the believer. We can go directly to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have direct access to the throne room. The meaning here of when it says judgeth. Well, the word judgeth is the same word translated discernment or discern. In the previous verse, going back up there, if you would please, to verse 14, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so, referring back to that verse, there's no reason why really any translations should vary here. It's the same mindset. I preach from King James, I stay from King James, but I also have the sense to know that those men who did the work of the King James Bible, they were not, those men were not inspired men of God. They were just the best of their day and time. They were the absolute quintessential of the linguist of their day. And that's why they did the work. And it's kind of like this DEI principle that's so big with everything right now, trying to get rid of that. You know, do you want your airline pilot? You want him to be placed in the seat according to his politics or his race, color, nationality, personality? Or do you want the best pilot possible? I don't know about you, but I want the best pilot possible. That's my mindset. If you're going to go and have open heart surgery, I don't care. It does not matter to me what color anyone is. I don't care what color my doctor is. I don't care where he's from. As long as I know he is a good heart surgeon. That's the idea. It just comes down to common sense, and we know that. But also, this matter of judging all things. It refers to the spiritual revelation spoken about in the context of this verse. Spiritual men can discern spiritual truth. And something we are lacking today in our Christian culture. We lack the spirit of discernment. We do not practice discernment like we once did. You compare our discernment today of the discernment of believers back in the 1980s. Wow, totally different. Or the 1970s, I mean, of course social media didn't exist or anything like that, but TV did, and they were bashing their TVs. But we've come to that place of finding ourselves comfortable with where we are. And I believe it was John MacArthur wrote a book on being comfortably lukewarm. And honestly, I think that's where a lot of believers are today. I know I have found myself there a number of times, many times. And it's a matter of just using good discernment, good discernment. And we see also the master in this judging. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The redeemed have help for discernment that the world does not have help with, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. To have Christ as Savior means to also have the mind of Christ, which is another way of saying one can discern spiritual matters. One cannot know the mind of the Lord apart from being saved. Those who reject Christ will walk in darkness regarding discerning spiritual matters. They'll walk in darkness. But then, and this is the last subpoint of number 5, the men of the manifestation. But then notice here this final subpoint. The depreciation of the men. It says, he himself is judged of no man. Verse 15. Well, the natural man cannot discern properly the saint of God. He does not realize that the believer is the biggest blessing a community or a nation could have. The natural man doesn't understand that. He does not realize who a believer is. Now, he would see a difference, but he's not able to discern. He hasn't even discerned for himself. The natural man cannot discern the great value of spiritual men, because the natural man doesn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The natural man is unable to read the price tags right that are on spiritual matters, that is. The natural man is not a competent judge. He doesn't discern things very well when it comes to spiritual matters. I'm not saying they're stupid. And I think we should not have that mentality. Well, if somebody is lost and they reject Christ, well, yeah, it is really crazy to do that. But it doesn't mean they are mentally stupid. And the truth is, it's usually the smarter people who are really hard to win to Christ. It's very difficult. The natural man is not a competent judge. Let's us as believers remember this. The next time we're dealing with a natural man, always keep in mind, he doesn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it comes back to our communication, being able to communicate the gospel clearly. And you know, the most clear way we can share the gospel is the way God gave it to us. Doesn't have to be eloquent or fancy. We just need to make sure that we're sharing what God told us to share. And keep in mind, God had never told us to save anyone. I know when I was youth pastor years ago, and we would talk to some of the kids, and you'd ask one of the kids, well, when did you get saved? And it wasn't uncommon. I constantly corrected them on this. They'd say, oh, Brother Kenny saved me back so-and-so. No, I didn't save. The Lord saved. I was just the messenger where they received the Lord. And so it's a matter of understanding when we are dealing with natural man. It's going to be their tendency to make light of it. It's going to be their tendency to even be disrespectful. I know some people, not all are like that. Some will be. But it's also, they have the known trait of not being able to discern spiritual matters. So here we see the manifestation of the truth. And folks, all of us play an important role in the manifestation of truth. All of us play an important role there. You know why? People hear more from you, now listen to this, than they do the preachers. People come to church maybe 2-3 times services a week, but the vast majority of the church is out in the world every day. So people are listening. People are watching you, and we need to keep that in mind as we make known the truth of the gospel of Christ. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your conviction. Lord, help us to be good communicators when it comes to the gospel. All of us here know of natural men who have never received you as their Savior. Many of those natural people, they are truly searching. They're searching. They want to know truth, but they can't in and of themselves. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we make known the gospel of your Son Jesus Christ, that we would be very clear, that we would be homiletically and hermeneutically correct in our presentation, and that we would expose your word the way you gave it to us. And it's very clear. And so, Lord, help us to have patience when dealing with the natural man. And most importantly, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a part of manifesting the gospel. Lord, help us to be a part of that. Help us to take every opportunity that we have. And we thank you for what you'll do in Christ's holy name. And with